So I'd like to talk about this little question on the board. What do you see? I'm sure that since as far as I know, everyone here is a sighted person. Some people have lost their sight as far as being able to see. If you're a sighted person, and I believe you all are, then many times we ask the question, maybe to someone else, what do you see? And you think about many times the things that you see really impacts your life, can impact your emotions, can impact your perspectives in so many, many ways and things. So there's a scripture in Proverbs that talks about where there is no vision, the people perish. But that's not really the direction I want to go this morning. I'm not so much thinking about a vision of the future, or a perspective that would be a motivating force for you to obtain or achieve. That's not my message. The message this morning, with the help of the Lord, is for us to examine what we see. Not so much, I could ask you what you see this morning when you're looking this direction. And you might say, well, I mean, it's the same view that we've had for several Sundays. It's the same person standing behind the desk, and it's the same voice, whether that's appealing or not appealing. It's, but it's more than a pair of glasses. It's more than the color of hair. It's more than maybe complexion. It's more than age. It's more than, what do you see when you look this way? Do you see what I get? What I'm getting to is, comes down to your perspective of who I am as a person, and who, what this service represents, and what your anticipation of the end of this service. That I'm asking you, what do you see? Do you see? I think it's more than just the whiteboard behind me. It's more than the desk. It's more than the paint on the walls. It's more than the light. It's more than the physical. But what do you see? What do you see when you come to a place like this in anticipation of a worship service? What do you see? You know, many times what we see is what we're looking for. So I'd like to go to Revelations, the 4th chapter, and notice not so much the specifics, but the atmosphere of looking and seeing that we have here. So in Revelations, the 4th chapter, beginning in the 1st verse, it says, after this I looked. The Apostle John here, that wrote the book of Revelations that we have, in the previous chapter to the previous two chapters, he was hearing what Jesus was saying to him about the seven churches of Asia. All right? So in chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelations, Jesus was telling him what he wanted to say to the seven churches. And there was a lot of good counsel there. We could read through that and examine ourselves. Where do we fit in this? And are we, is there places we need to measure up in all of this? But after he heard what Jesus had to say to him, and Jesus was speaking to him in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, you remember? That's how this all happened. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he caught a vision of Jesus. That's in the first chapter of Revelations. And so after that, in the fourth chapter here, he says, "And after this I looked." Have you ever looked for something? Oh, I had a situation, I can't remember what day it was now. It was one day this week, and been working on my outdoor wood furnace, and I dug a trench and put some conduit in, and I'm standing straddle of this trench, and I'm trying to put a little screw, a number 6 machine screw, which is not a very big screw, in this cover to try to get it to where I can keep fix this thing so I can keep warm this winter. And I dropped one of my screws. It wasn't just in the grass outside in the dark, because I was working in the dark, had my headlight on, I'm working on this thing. But there's a ditch down there, and it fell somewhere in there, just somewhere in the dirt. I mean, it's very susceptible that I'm going to step on it and mash it into oblivion there. But I spent a little time looking, where could this be? Surely my light will catch a reflection of a shadow. No, I didn't see it. I looked, but I didn't see it. All right? And as the evening went on and I got finished what I got, I feel like the Lord helped me to see it. I found that screw in the dark, in the dirt, down in the bottom of my ditch that I dug. So that was pretty miraculous. You know, the writer here says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open." What do you know? If you really look, many times something will happen. You'll begin to see something. He says, "And behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter.'" So let me ask this question. If he wasn't looking, what do you think the opportunity would have been for him to be shown something? All right? So number one, he had to be looking, and he heard a voice then. And he seen a door was opened, and on the other side of the door he heard a voice, and it said, "Come up here, there's something that I will shew you." All right? "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald." So he began to have a picture in his mind. I'm not sure how visible it was to the natural eye, but I know this, John was looking. It says, after he heard what Jesus said, he began to look. And when he looked, he seen an opportunity, a door. He said, a door that was open. That's a place that you can walk through, is it not? It's not a closed door, but it was an open door. And he seen it because he was looking. And he heard a voice. He was invited to come through the door. He got through the door, and he would begin to see. Some things were shown to him. And the fourth verse says, "And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold." So the picture I want us to get here is in the fourth verse he says, "And upon the seats I saw." There was something that came into focus, whether it was with his literal eyes or not, I'm not here to debate that. But he began to see. So with your literal eyes, you can see me. You can make a determination about the color of my clothing, the color of my hair, and the hand motions that I do, and all of those things. You can see that. But I'm really interested in what else you see. If you see a lot of negative things, I'd prefer you talk to me privately about it. But if you see something, there is something more to sight than just what I see with my natural eyes, okay? So, I want us to get a hold of this point. If we want to see, if we want to see the things of the Lord, we're going to have to look for them. We're not going to see some things without looking. All right? I had someone tell me on an occasion that they could see things that other people couldn't see. Now, I'm going to tell you that the context it was said to me made me nervous. Because sometimes people that have an exclusive vision of something, it can be dangerous, all right? But they felt like they seen things in some other people that were negative. And I didn't. I'm not going to tell you I'm the most observant person in the world, but I did not honestly see what they were talking about. And I had to tell them, I'm sorry, I don't see that. But I didn't change what they saw. And they saw this because they were looking for something. And you know, sometimes we can be looking for things to our own hurt. You know, we can look for something that's a fault in another person or another situation, and the devil will help us see something. You know, he can help us see something sometimes that may not honestly be there. And you know, I think I want us to be careful about looking for negative things. But you know, if we're looking for something to find wrong with another situation, we can find it. It's easy to be conditioned of thinking what we think is the right way or the right thing, and then we're always looking for something that's not good about other things. And you know, I grew up in a home. I know this is a typical, probably a typical thing that you see in me. All right, it's an automotive perspective. All right, so I know that's something you probably see in me. Whether you think that's good or bad, but when I was growing up, I grew up in a home that my dad just wouldn't drive a Ford. He just wouldn't drive one. Because he had one, and it was a bad experience for him. So all of the things about found on road dead and things like that, it was that Ford supposedly stood for, that those things, I guess you could say that could have been cultivated. So, you know, any time I looked on the Fords, there was a, I was looking for something to reinforce my negative opinion. All right? And I'm trying to tell you that so you understand what it's like to allow yourself to begin looking. It's got to be here somewhere. I mean, I've got to overlook maybe some positive things, but there's something bad here somewhere, and I'm going to look till I find it. You know, the enemy wants to get us caught up in that and looking at one another and looking at people and situations in general. I know because they're a man or because they're a woman or because they're of this race or that race or because they're from this location or that location or because they're from a background of whatever. There's something but wrong with them. And if you look far enough and hard enough, you might just find it. So Lord, help us to be very careful about why we're looking. All right? I believe that John had a good purpose in looking, but we don't always have a good purpose in looking. But the Lord helped him to see, and the enemy will help you see some things too. But there are things that are profitable for us to look for. When it comes to looking into the Word and saying, Lord, I need some reinforcement and I need some help in my life. And we begin to open the Scripture and look. We don't maybe know where to look. And we're asking, Lord, guide me and direct. Help me to know. Help me to see something that will help us in our situation. That's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to look for something that you can compliment your fellow man on. That's a good thing. It's a positive thing. But if we don't look for those positive things, there's a good chance we won't see it if it smacks us right in the face, so to speak. You know, there's times that people can have things that is so apparent to other people looking on. Other people see it, and they don't. Well, why don't they see it? They're not willing to look. They're just not willing to see the opportunity. They're not willing to see the benefit. They're not willing to see it. They're not looking for it. And it can be staring them right in the face. And they still can't see it. So it's important for us to look for the right things. Someone told me yesterday about something that they saw and they weren't even in the place where they could see it. I went a week ago, Saturday, I went to an auction sale, and as far as I know, this person wasn't there. But yet, from things he heard, he thought he knew what was going on. And he had an opinion about the overall pricing of things at that auction. I was there. And I didn't see what he was talking about. And I was there. And he wasn't there. And he did. So, I want us to understand, many times we are looking long distance and we don't really know what's going on over there. You know, we can jump to conclusions about something and we don't really know. We're looking for evidence to support our hypothesis and that we might find a little bit here and there. It's kind of like the evidences in archaeological discoveries for things like evolution. You know, you start looking for something and you just might find something. But when you really start putting it all together and considering what the Word of God is talking about, That's not what it's see. That's not what you're seeing. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So let's move on to another point. In Mark, the 8th chapter, that kind of leads us to the next one. Mark, the 8th chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 22. It says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on the eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. So Jesus did touch him. And he asked him then, can you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking." Now, we've probably all drawn little stick figures before in our lives. And this man said, I see men as trees walking. I don't really know what he thought he seen, but I know he knew enough that he realized I'm not seeing clearly. All right? Now, there are times in our life that, whether it's an archaeological discovery or it's something that we heard as a report about an auction sale, or whether it's something that we observed in another person's life or their character, many times what we see is not, we're not seeing clearly. It's kind of like the man that seen men as trees walking. I want us to be observant. And this man was observant. He seen men as trees walking. But when there is something that we see that's distressing, when there is something that doesn't look right, and I don't know when he looked, he seen men and they looked like they were 10 times as tall as him. I remember one time as a young man, I got to reading a book like one afternoon, or maybe it was one Sunday afternoon, or maybe a Saturday, I don't know, but it seemed like it was this time of year. Maybe it was cold outside and nothing I really needed to do. And I was pretty young, and I was reading this book, and I read so long looking at the type on the book. I don't know if anybody else ever had this. I read so long that when I looked up at I think it was my mother coming through the door, she looked like she was about this tall, about 2 inches tall. And I don't know what happened to my eyes, but they'd been focused on the page so long that when I looked up across the room, my mother looked like she was about 2 inches tall. And everything looked, and it took my eyes like 2 or 3 minutes to readjust. And I've had that happen to me more than once years ago. I can't read that long. But I'd been looking at the page and turning pages and not looking up for a long time. And I don't know what this man seen. When he looked and seen men as trees walking, I don't know if he meant that they were really, really tall or they were deformed. Look, I'm not real sure what he's seen, but sometimes we look on, and I knew that's not how tall my mother was. I knew she wasn't 2 inches tall. I knew that's not right. So I want to notice what happened here. It said here, he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. So here is the advice that I see in this passage of Scripture. When we look on and see something, whether we're really looking for it or not, when we see something and it causes us to think, that's not right. They're 2 inches tall. They're as tall as a tree. I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. And I see something going on. I want to tell you, the best advice is to go ask the Lord to help me to see this clearly. It may be really what it looks like it is, and it may not be. It may be something that the Lord can help us to see clearly. I want to see things clearly. I don't want to look through a glass darkly at life, at my brothers and sisters in the Lord, at my fellow man. You know, we can look on the world around us and make a decision that it's all hopeless. Nobody wants to really know the Lord. We can make that assumption, but I think that's a distorted perspective. I believe there's people out there that really want a genuine experience of salvation. I believe there's some sincere hearts that's tired of the wreckage that Satan has to offer. And help us, Lord, to see that clearly and not be looking for a reason to justify a perspective that says, nobody wants what I got. I believe the Lord can help us see that clearly. I'd like to go to 1 Samuel and notice another situation here of someone seeing something. And I'll go to 1 Samuel, the 28th chapter. And I would guess that most of us here are familiar with the story of how Saul lost his favor with God because he did not follow through with the instructions the Lord had given him through the prophet Samuel. And Samuel had passed away. He was no longer living. And Saul was at the very end of his life here in this earth. And Saul was facing the Philistines. The Philistines were coming against him, and he was expected and going to have to be prepared to go out to do battle with them. And he didn't know what he was supposed to do because the Lord didn't speak to him any longer. You know, that's a distressing place to be if the Lord won't speak to you. If you have had a profession and an experience of salvation and things have deteriorated to where the Lord doesn't speak to you and you don't hear the voice of the Lord at all, that's a very shaky place to be. So that's where Saul was. So he decided that he was going to try to get some information to help him make a decision and know how to be prepared, even though the Lord wouldn't talk to him. So he asked his associates to find someone that had what they called a familiar spirit. I'm going to pick up this story in verse 11. He had got to this, it was a woman's residence, a woman's place and location anyway. Maybe in verse 10, and Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. He'd ask her to be able to call someone up from the dead. And Saul had a reputation of destroying the witches. So in verse 11 it says, then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. She not only saw Samuel, I don't know what she was using. I don't know if she had a black kettle boiling over a fire or if she had a crystal ball. But I know that she was dealing in something that enabled her to see some things that weren't natural. All right? And she saw Samuel. Don't know how she saw him, but she also realized that this was Saul. This wasn't just another man. And she says, "Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul?" And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" What'd you see? And she said, and the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, I don't know that Saul got the same vision that this woman did, but he perceived somehow that this was Samuel. And so, and Samuel told Saul what was going to happen and how that Saul was going to lose his life and his sons. They were all going to be with him, with Samuel, in eternity. So I want us to realize today, in the world that we live in, that there are those that'll help you see things that you shouldn't see. All right? There are professional there's professional helpers out there. I don't know what else to say. To help you see this, these things. There are places you can go. I've never been, and I highly recommend that none of you ever go. But there are places you can go that's very similar to where Saul went. There are people out there that claim they can talk to people that's already gone. I want to tell you, that's a scary place to go. I want to tell you that it's not just people that say they can read your palm and look in a crystal ball or maybe have a potion boiling in a pot and see something, all right? But our society is infiltrated and permeated with people that'll help you see negative, unproductive, and unwholesome things. Our world is full of that. And they want to help you. All you've got to do is begin to look in their direction, and they will help you see things that you don't need to see, that you shouldn't see, and that we shouldn't have a desire to see. There are those out there that want us to see things that are, Lord help me to know the right words here. There are those out there that have infiltrated our society that want us to see things differently than our ancestors seen them. They want us to see things that have been beneficial to generations in the past as bad. They want us to see the things that have been instrumental in leading us to the truths that we know of holiness, of righteousness, of godliness, of contentment. They want us to see those in a negative light. They want us to see the things that pertain to a home and the structure of a home. They want us to see them differently than God wants us to see them. And there are professionals out there. You don't even have to go to their place of business. They're everywhere. It's a mindset that is infiltrating our world today. And they want you to see it. And they're trying to help us see it. And folks, here is a place that many times the enemy is causing us to begin to see men as trees walking. And we need to ask the Lord to help me to see clearly. It is so easy for us to look around and to hear the things that we are bombarded with constantly. Lifestyles that are not God-given or God-approved. And we are bombarded to the point that it is went from a state of incredible disbelief to social acceptance today. Because people want us to see something different. Don't make it right. And it doesn't mean that God's approval is on it. But they want us. So I'm asking, what do you see? Do you see that the current trends of society is better than those of our forefathers? Do you see the family structure differently than other people used to see it? Do you see your responsibilities as a husband, as a wife, as a Christian, as a child of God? Do you see them differently than people did 100 years ago? Many times there are differences in what we see is because of those that are the professional advisors of the enemies of our soul. And just as Saul went to a professional to help him see something and help him to know something, if we're not careful, we can hear it today. We can hear it and we can see it because there are those that will help us see a different perspective. So I'm asking, I'm pleading with us today, be careful when you realize what you're seeing is different from those that you have respected in the past. That's a sign that you need to ask the Lord to help you see clearly. All right? There can be real professionals out there that wants to change your vision. So I'd like to end my thought today with some verses to help us in what we're looking for. All right? I'd like for us to look for the right things. I'd like for us to see the right things. I don't want us to go through life seeing, I don't know the name of it now. You know, many people see, the right word would come to my mind. They think there's something underhanded going everywhere they look. There's some kind of plan. There's people that believe that, I'm just using this for an illustration, don't mean to get on a bandwagon. There's people that believe the earth is flat. And that everything that that proves it different than that. They believe it's a instrument in our governments, and all of that is trying to make us believe that. And it's because they're looking for something, that they're seeing something, because somebody has helped them see that. All right, many times. So here's some rules that I think we ought to follow. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter and the second verse. If you don't remember anything else, I hope you remember this about this morning's thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know, if we begin to look at other people like that, I'm determined to only look for evidence that you are saved. That's the only thing I'm determined to look for. You know, that'll help us in our perspective of other people. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says there, we'll turn there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Did you know if we will look for the things that will bring spiritual health and spiritual prosperity in our own souls and in our own hearts, you know that all the other things will follow through? The Lord will help us. Seek you first. Don't look for something that would be a deterrent. Look for the things of the Lord first. He says in Galatians, the sixth chapter, in the first verse, he says here, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." If someone is overtaken in a fault and saying, "Well, I could see that coming." No, that's not what we're supposed to be looking for. We're supposed to be looking, how do we help this person? How do we help restore them? He says here, "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." He didn't say stomp on them. How do we help these people? Lord, help me to look for that. All right? In Philippians 4 and verse 8. This is good for a lot of things. But it says here, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Or look for these things. Look for the things that are honest, that are true, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, of good report. Look for those things. You might find them. You might find some really beneficial things if you'd look for them. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, the last one I'm going to read to you, it says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Allow these points to be the things that guide what you're looking for. Be careful about the professionals that'll help you see something that you probably shouldn't see. That's what Saul happened. That's what happened to Saul. Lord, help me today to be able to see clearly. Not men as trees walking, but see clearly. I desire your prayers more than anything else. I want to be an example of the believers. And I want you to be too. You pray for me.